5 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour, welcome back into the whole show powered by PDC Energy. And joining us on our First Advantage Hotline, he's heading into his 13th season at the helm of the Colorado Buffaloes basketball team, head coach Tad Boyle. Coach, thank you so much for giving us some time today. We always look forward to these conversations.
Yeah, good to be with you, as always.
Well, we're looking forward to this season. And, Coach, I think I could just repeat this opening. Every year I bring you on to start the season, you're always in the thick of it. You guys are always in the mix. We always say, yeah, I could easily see that team going dancing this year. No matter what you do, no matter the stars that leave this program, every single year you guys seem to be right there in the mix.
Well, we've tried to, you know, set that as a standard for this program since we got here. I said, you know, 13 years ago when I got this job that it's one thing to build a team, you know, that's successful, but we've really tried to build a program that has been able to sustain success, and I think we've been able to do that. But with that being said, there's still a lot more to do, and every year is a new year, and you know, getting to the NCAA tournament is a difficult task. The schools that do it year after year after year, it's not easy, and so it's a challenge for us every year, but it's one that our players are excited about, and I certainly am as well.
Coach, how hard is that, though, to sustain success? I mean, you look at this, not just now, but even throughout the course of the year, throughout the 13 years you've been with the Buffs, but especially now, because things are changing so rapidly with college sports in general. How difficult is that to get these guys coming in that quickly want to buy into the program, stay with the program, and build with you throughout the next few seasons?
You know, it's difficult. That's where the, you know, the overused term you hear coaches talk about it all the time is culture. But it's so true. If your program has a culture and it has standards like ours has, it really helps. And your culture is really defined by the players that you recruit. And recruiting is the lifeblood of any team, any program. And that's what we've been able to do, I think, is recruit really quality players, obviously, because you can't win without good players. But more importantly, they're great people, and they're team guys. And if you're not a team guy, if you've got your own agenda, you know, it doesn't really fit into what Colorado basketball is all about. So we want players that want to be involved in something greater than themselves and play for the name on the front of their jersey and under the back of their jersey. And we've been able to do that.
We're talking to CU head coach Tad Boyle. And, Coach, do you pay attention to records and all that? I mean, I'm sure it's crossed your mind. Maybe not. You're 254 and 155. You need 8 wins to become the winningest head coach in CU history. Is that a number that you think about? Do you even talk about it? Or is it like, nah, you know what? I don't care about that stuff.
No, it's just, I mean, obviously I know about it because people like you bring it up, and so, you know, I'm certainly aware of it, but it's not something I go to bed at night and think about or wake up in the morning thinking about. It's just, you know, again, it's a function of having recruited really good players and won a fair amount of games, and I've been here for a while, so when you put all those things, you know, together, and, you know, you approach milestones like this, but it's not, look, it's not something that's necessarily important to me, but I'm honored to be the coach here today, just like I was when I was hired here, you know, 13 years ago.
So you're saying after each win, you don't want me to text you and say 7 more to go, 6
well,
more to go, Coach.
You can text me, but I probably won't text you back.
I might test it. I just want to see how far we can take this. Talk to us a little bit about this team, Coach. You guys had an exhibition game on Sunday against Nebraska. You win 72-61. The real deal coming up on Monday against UC Riverside. Obviously, my question is about leadership on this team. We know you have some solid players. I'm really excited to see what Tristan Da Silva does this season. But are you looking for those guys, Tristan especially, maybe to step up more in that leadership role?
Absolutely. You know, we've been so blessed the last couple of years, especially 3 or 4 years, with guys like McKinley Wright and Deshaun Schwartz and Dallas Walton, the guys that have set standards for this program. Then, you know, last year we had Evan Batty as a leader. So we've been blessed with great young men who are great leaders, and now those guys are gone. You know, Evan's gone, McKinley's gone, was gone 2 years ago. So now it falls on somebody else's shoulders, and that person, and it's not just his alone, but Tristan Da Silva is a guy who who understands the importance of it. He's been around both those guys I mentioned. He's been, as has Nick Clifford and Luke O'Brien. I look at that junior class. It's kind of a unique team this year, Brady, because we have two seniors, but they're both grad transfers who it's their first year in the program, so they're still figuring out what Colorado basketball is all about and what we stand for. So those juniors are the ones I'm going to be leaning on as this season unfolds to provide that leadership when adversity hits. Now, it's not a matter of if, it's when, and when it does, I got a lot of confidence in guys like Tristan and Neek and Luke.
Certainly great players and high expectations for all three of those guys. But you have some youngsters coming in, too, that, you know, K.J. Simpson's a guy that I look at, too. Like, what can he do this season?
Yeah, I think K.J., you know, with Keyshawn Bartholomew hitting the transfer portal and leaving the program, K.J. and Julian Hammond, I think both are going to be really key in our backcourt in terms of stepping up, and their roles will increase significantly. So KJ is a very capable player, explosive, dynamic, energetic, fun to watch. And Julian Hammond is coming into a sophomore year now, and you know, had a lot of experience last year as a freshman. So expecting a lot of both those guys.
Coach, obviously football has been a rough go for Colorado. I don't know about a lot of the Buffs fans, but every time we get to this point, because it's been so rough, I'm always ready to turn over that calendar and just get into the basketball mode. Do you think about that? Like, I don't think that there's got to be extra pressure, but we need you, Coach. I mean, basketball fans are like, let's go. It's time. It's been a rough football year, not just for the Buffs, but for the state of Colorado in general, even going up to the Broncos. Let's get to basketball season.
Yeah, you know, look, there's nobody who's a bigger college football fan than I am. I'm not a big NFL guy. I don't, you know, but I love college football, and I go to every Buff game, you know, at home. I try to make at least one on the road. I haven't made a road game in a while now, but I really, really enjoy college football. And look, we need, for us to be as good as we can as an institution, we need football to be successful, and I recognize that as a basketball coach. And but yeah, this is not unlike many of the seasons I've been a part of, in that a lot of people, you know, starting mid-October are ready to turn the page, and we are ready for that challenge, and it's something that we're going to be excited about. And but we need our football team to get going, and I think they will.
Talking to CU Buffs head coach Tad Boyle. And Coach, I think we've talked about the larger picture when it comes to college sports, college basketball. Obviously, every day I wake up and I see a different headline of this team avoids sanctions, or this coach is getting suspended. We saw the news with Kansas yesterday with Coach Self. You and I've talked about this a lot, and you're one of those guys that I've just admired so much with how you do it. You do it the right way. This day and age, that is hard to do. Angel, my producer, and I, we were talking about it the other day, and he's saying, man, why do these guys just keep doing this? Why do they think they're not going to get caught? There's all these different debacles going on. And we talked about it. I said, man, it's because everybody's doing it, so then you feel like you have to do it to keep up. How do you keep focused on everything going on with these constant situations happening in the greater landscape of college sports?
Well, I think the one thing I've always felt is you have to be able to look yourself in the mirror, you know, every night you go to bed, and you feel like you're doing things the right way. And everybody, you know, there's a lot of people who don't, and they may justify things in terms of how they do things. And that's just the way it is. You cannot legislate morality. You can't legislate, you know, people doing the right things. And that's why there's an enforcement staff. You know, you mentioned the KU situation. You know, the unfortunate thing to me about that is right now, you know, they're paying for something that happened in 2017. It's 2022.
Sure.
and now they're finally, you know, paying a price. And there's something wrong with that picture when it's 2022, and we're being people are being sanctioned for stuff that's done in 2017. We have to find a more timely way to adjudicate these cases. And but that's not, you know, that's not my I got to stay in my lane. I'm the basketball coach at Colorado. I'm not part of the NCAA enforcement or investigation, you know, staff. So I don't know what the answer is, but it is awful frustrating. But it's something that, you know, look, it's nothing new. It's not something I am not used to.
Well, and yeah, going back to 2017, the investigations, why do they take so long? And then players that weren't even a part of that are now going to be a part of some kind of sanctions or what have you. And I go back to the NCAA, it just takes forever for anything to happen. I mean, we're talking about NIL, we're talking about transfer portal. I firmly believe, Coach, that 20 years ago, if the NCAA is saying, hey, these are going to be issues that come up, we should start getting out in front of this. We set up an NIL thing, work on the transfer portal, start perfecting it now. But instead, it just felt like, hey, let's keep kicking this can on down the road.
Definitely has. And it's caught up to us. We're forced into making changes rather than looking at how we can make them, you know, to the benefit of all. And it looked really complex issues and complex situations, but it is a little bit disappointing in terms of where we are right now. And I, to be honest with you, Brady, I do believe that we're almost to a point where the self-regulation, which is really what the NCAA, you know, we're supposed to self-regulate ourselves, and each school is supposed to do that. I'm not sure if that model's not broken, because there are some schools that, again, they monitor they're in compliance with the rules. If rules are broken, they come down on themselves. And there's other schools who lawyer up and say, no, we didn't do anything wrong, and they won't monitor themselves. And I think that's the unfortunate business model that we're dealing with right now. Again, I don't know what the answer is other than to get a third-party enforcement staff in, but they tried to do that as well, and that hasn't been very successful.
Yeah, just so many different complications when you're looking at it. And is that tough for you, Coach? Because you love the game of basketball. You can't be at the level that you are and not flat-out love this game. But when you see this stuff, does it impact that at all, or are you able to kind of compartmentalize and just say, no, I still love the game of sports, of basketball, the way it is, and I can push that stuff aside a little bit?
Absolutely. You have to push it aside. I mean, if that's all I concentrated on and thought about, I'd drive myself crazy. And so I choose not to do that. I choose to try to recruit great kids from great families who have the same value system that we have as a program, and we can find those kids. We have, and we will continue to do that and be successful, understanding that maybe not all of our opponents are going to do things the right way, but that's just part of the deal. And it's been like that for a long, long time, even before I got into coaching. I'm sure it'll probably be like that when I'm done coaching.
Coach Tad Boyle joining us on the program. Just a couple more for you, Coach. December 8th, you guys play CSU. December 18th, going up against UNC. I think you know your way here, too. I think you'll be able to find your way over here. I love these matchups, Coach, because I look at it, and I'm a huge college basketball guy, and especially in the state. And I look at these games and think, man, this is a great opportunity to get all these fan bases together and really grow the sport of basketball within the state of Colorado.
Absolutely. And I felt like when I got the job here, you know, every school along the Front Range, we've played them all. We've played Wyoming home and home. We've played Air Force home and home. We obviously still have the CSU series. We've played Northern Colorado. We've played Denver University. And so I want to continue this as much as I can, you know, based on, you know, some years it might make sense for these teams to play against us and us to play against them. Other years it may not make sense for them or us, given the certain situations. So, but I think it's great for the basketball along the Front Range, and I think that's part of my job as the coach at the University of Colorado is to make sure some of these games, you know, happen.
What are your thoughts on some kind of tournament situation where we get a mountain trophy or something like that? Doesn't mean you're playing the same teams every year. We set up the brackets differently, but what do you think? My producer came up with that, so if you don't like it,
well,
that's his idea.
Not a bad idea. You know, we got three of the teams. You know, obviously, Colorado State, Air Force, and Wyoming are all competing in the same league.
Sure.
That's the only thing that makes it a little bit problematic. Obviously, Denver, Northern Colorado, and the Buffs here are in three different leagues. But if we had, look, the three of us, along with one of those Mountain West teams in a tournament every year, I think it might have some legs. I'd certainly be open to it.
Oh, we've got some design ideas for the trophy, Coach, so we'll get together on that and have some fun with it. Coach, always appreciate you. Love kind of covering a little bit of everything with you. We wish you the best of luck this season. I'm sure we'll catch up down the road, but good luck on Monday against UC Riverside.
Appreciate it, Brady. Always good to be with you.
All right. CU Buffs head coach Tad Boyle. Okay. Angel, now that he likes that idea, I am going to take credit for that because I asked it, so I get credit for that.
I actually trademarked it already.
Oh, man, that happened fast.
Yeah, while you were doing your interview, I was working behind the scenes.
What's the trophy? It's a mountain?
It's going to be a little mountain range.
A little mountain range. I like that.
Nice little miniature model of the Rockies.
The front range. It's got to be something cool, though.
It's got to be something cool with basketball.
Can't be just the front range trophy. You have to give it a name.
I was going to say Rocky Mountain Showdown, but that's taken. I guess it's not taken anymore.
The Wyoming CSU CU UNC thing that's going to happen.
Basketball.
It does complicate it that CSU Air Force and Wyoming are in the Mountain West, but COVID has taught us that it doesn't matter. We can do anything we want.
Can schedule a game anytime.
CSU can play Wyoming twice. The tournament doesn't count toward their conference record. How about that? But it counts to their overall record.
No, do it like as a preseason kind of thing.
Kind of.
Like the first weekend of season, everyone goes to a neutral side or you rotate the host team and
go down to Ball Arena.
Yeah.
Go down to Ball Arena and it's just what? Would that be four teams?
Four teams, maybe a fifth, maybe a sixth.
So you got CU for sure.
Yep.
CSU.
Mm-hmm.
UNC.
Air Force in there.
Do you want to go Air Force or do we go Wyoming? Is it because it's out of state? Do we
do
not?
Both.
Do
it? They're both far enough away.
So one team gets a bye?
Sure.
Probably CU gets the bye, Pac-12. Or just whoever had the best record last year. This is getting complicated.
We'll make it work.
We'll make this work. This is going to be a great idea. I've got millions of ideas to add to your idea, I'll add so many ideas to it that it will become my idea.
Well, think about they could do new uniforms.
Oh, yeah.
We could just create rivalries, do like Twitter contests, all kinds of stuff.
I'm telling you, we got to get these fan bases together.
Find me a basketball court that's like in the mountains.
Yes.
And we'll play there.
Okay. Is there anybody out there that knows of a basketball court in the mountains? Outside?
Yes. That's the new innovative thinking we need.
We might be losing
outside
Tad.
Outside basketball.
We might be losing Tad on this one now.
In January.
Isn't Tad fantastic, man?
That was great.
He is such a great coach, and he does things the right way. And I don't know how he... You know how hard it is every year to say, sure, CU has a chance to be in March Madness. Like, CSU... We don't say that about them every year. We barely say that about them. They had to get going. Nico Medved came into town and started getting this thing going. And then David Roddy comes along and Isaiah Stevens comes along and it's okay, all the right pieces. CU every year. There's a component there every single year. McKinley Wright comes and goes. Well, they replace him. Evan Batty comes and goes. They find ways. There's stud players that they've had year after year. And Tristan Da Silva. Watch out for that guy. He could be a big-time player, man. I'm really Neat Clifford. Those are the two guys to watch out for the University of Colorado. 24 minutes after the hour. Quick break coming up. More on the Denver Nuggets and their road issues. Got to get it right. A little pressure to get stuff right, like tonight against OKC. And then the Thursday night special. 13.5. That scares me. Those things scare me. Do you think I should text Tad Boyle after every win, by the way, and see if he responds? I'm just going to go, 7 more to go.
Well, eventually, we'll stop texting him because we'll pass the record. So, what, it's 8
You've
games?
You've done it! Good job! -2! You're over the top! 24 after the hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
KFKA is your no-go home of the Denver Broncos. Hear games and news around the team on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
What's up, Hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
29 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. I'm Brady Hull. Got On Gel on the other side of the bulletproof glass. Boy, you guys had a heated debate this morning on Good Morning NoCo about Christmas music. Tanner's against it, which, surprise, surprise, anything positive that brings joy in our lives, Tanner's against it. Brian's all for it. He's like the complete opposite. And I'm kind of right there in the middle. But I do like Christmas music, movies, all of it. I'm into it.
If there was some weird love child between Scrooge and the Grinch,
it would be Tanner.
It might be Tanner Schwinn.
I think you're exactly right.
His whole argument is that you can only listen to Christmas music for like 4 days, and that's like the 2 days before and after Christmas.
What is that
and
about?
That's just dumb.
No, we need Christmas music.
He'll say after Thanksgiving is fine, but it has to be in these 4 days.
And it can't be in the stores anywhere right. that he goes. There's no Christmas stuff. I'm driving home from Denver last night, and there's already some of these dealerships with Christmas tree, with lights on their Christmas, on their trees out front. Yeah, good.
I heard Mariah Carey the other day. I thought about turning it off, but I didn't.
It's not even that I like Mariah Carey and Christmas music necessarily. I just really like it when Halloween is over.
Oh, and I like it more as we get closer. I said it this morning. I used to fall asleep listening to Christmas music when it was in season.
I love it.
Because it's in season now.
I'm going to put lights up in my office here at the station so Tanner has to see it.
We'll put lights everywhere.
Yeah, and we'll just have music in the background here, just playing Christmas tunes. My wife and I do it. We decorate earlier every single year. Last year was before Thanksgiving. Now, we don't go with the lights outside the house, not until after Thanksgiving. But we do still have our Halloween. We put Halloween lights up and stuff. They're still up. I forgot to unplug those. Drove home last night. I'm like, somebody should unplug those. Then I just
went. Whose house is? Oh, that's mine.
Then I just went inside. We're the only ones on the block that still have our Halloween lights plugged in.
Falling behind.
Yeah. I pulled in last night. I'm like, somebody should unplug that. And then I just walked inside. And it's, Tanner said, I quit if that happens. Angel, you know what to do.
Decorate your office, Tanner.
Put a big old inflatable Santa Claus
that
in there.
That episode of The Office where Jim gift wrapped all of Dwight's stuff.
Maybe we should do that.
We're gonna
for
do
Tanner.
That.
Just wrap his stuff up and
his
put
little
some Christmas
hot sauce
tree.
Bottle.
You wrap that in Christmas paper.
A little Rocky's helmet. He's got everything. We'll wrap all of it.
Can you? Are you a good like rapper? Not like singing, but wrapping gifts. Can you do that?
I've gotten better and better each year.
I'm terrible at it.
It always depends. Like, you do your shopping based on your wrapping. If you see something, you're like, that looks good, but that's going to be a pain in the butt to wrap.
Even though that wasn't what they wanted.
It's not even worth putting it in a bag with some paper. No. You're not getting it.
Mm-mm.
Boxes, super easy.
Little boxes.
T-shirts, clothes, those are pretty new. They come in boxes.
Yeah, I can't fold T-shirts, though.
Everyone folds T-shirts a different way. I've changed my style like 4 times in the last 3 years.
I don't know how to do it. I just kind of just
my parents
do it.
Both taught me different ways to fold clothes.
Really?
Yes.
Two different philosophies in folding clothes?
Yeah, because my parents got divorced at an early age.
Okay, so you had two different.
So we had two different ways of doing laundry and like.
How are you so well adjusted?
I don't know.
With the folding of the clothes thing,
I kind of like I fold my clothes my own way now.
Okay, so you just merged the two.
I merged it. Some little one or two folds you'll keep, but you'll change it up on the last step. Makes a whole difference. It's the wrinkle in a different spot.
Yeah, I've never. Like when I try clothes on at a store, like a shirt, you take a shirt, you go try it on. I try to fold it back the way they have it all. And I'm like, this just. I'm so sorry. I don't know.
The hanger is it broke.
It's here now. It's crumpled up.
Does anyone want this shirt?
Does anybody want this shirt that I already...
It doesn't fit me, but it might fit you, good sir.
It might fit you, yes. No, I'm all for it. Although I will say, they're doing a sequel to A Christmas Story.
Yep. With the original
You
Ralphie.
Know it's going to be terrible, right? You know it's going to be terrible.
It's going to be very modern.
And it's not even modern because when was he a kid? In the 50s?
Oof, yeah, that movie's old.
Or was it wasn't the 80s, right? It was 50s because they're truck. So it's probably going to be, he's probably in his 40s, so it's going to be in the late 80s. Is that right?
Sounds about right.
Yeah, I think it'll be before cell phones and stuff, so that'll be good. But it's going to be terrible. You can't take that. That movie was a lightning in a bottle, wow, type of deal. Where it's like, is this idea, this could be kind of a fun little movie, whatever, and then bam, just becomes a classic.
Well, you notice it's probably the only Christmas movie that gets played on a 24-hour loop.
On TBS, it is on all day, Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, right?
They don't do that any other movie.
And I just put it on, and I don't really sit down and watch. I don't know that I've actually ever watched the whole thing through from start to finish.
I did last year.
I've done probably 90%, but I usually just watch snippets of it. Like, I'm sitting down, and there's 30 minutes. All right, moving on to do something else.
You know it so well. Christmas morning, you're doing stuff.
Yes.
And you check in. Oh, tongue on the pole. Oh, hour later, oh, he's getting kicked off the slide.
The dogs, the lamp. I mean, everything. Tongue on a pole, you're right. Like, everything about it is. My wife hates that movie.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Just hates it. I'm like, but we leave it on anyway because her folks like it too. So we just like all are like, yeah, you got outvoted. We got to leave this thing on. 35 minutes after the hour. Thursday night special coming up. Philadelphia and Houston. Yuck. Not Philadelphia, but
this game didn't even sound good like preseason.
No. And now it's like sounds worse because one team's really good and one team's really bad. Tanner says he's never seen a Christmas story, but I'm sure he says
that,
but that
explains
it probably sucks.
It. That perfectly explains his hate for Christmas.
Yeah, man. He hasn't seen
You don't know what the true magic of Christmas is until you see that movie.
Yes. Christmas Vacation.
Oh, yeah.
That's a classic. The Santa Claus, the first one. The rest of them are terrible.
The Grinch with Jim Carrey.
The Grinch with Jim Carrey and the new animated one. Well, 3 or 4 years. You didn't like that one?
I never saw it.
Oh, it's good. It's good. You got to check that out.
Do you like the old claymation style, like Rudolph and
yes.
All those ones?
All in on that. Rudolph is the best.
I haven't seen that in
there's
a long
two of them.
Time.
There's the Christmas one, and then there's the New Year's Rudolph one, and it is fantastic. Those are all good. Wonderful movies. 36 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Thursday night specials coming up next. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash. Another big Thursday night coming up on Prime Video. Maybe we get a game here. 6:15, the Philadelphia Eagles, the undefeated Philadelphia Eagles, the only undefeated team in the league, going up against, feels like they're completely defeated, but they did get one win, the 1-5-1 Houston Texans. And a tie in there. They got not a tie, but it's hockey. I was thinking of hockey. They got a point for tie for going to overtime. They did actually, tie. So 1-5-1. The Texans are bad. All right, let's take a look at it. Jalen Hurts, he was born in Houston. He grew up 25 miles away from Houston Stadium. So he knows this place well.
Channelview High School, I believe.
Yes.
I know Jalen very well.
Yes. He's your Bama guy. He's your Bama guy.
He's my guy that had success
he
and then
should
left
be
for
your
a
guy.
Year.
He's better than Tua. He's better than Tua, Angel.
He's three-fourths of my guy.
He's better, right? Jalen's better than Tua.
I mean, they're 1-2 right now, so.
Just like messing with you. Jalen Hurts is, I mean, dude, that guy, he is a tough son of a gun, man. They're showing all these videos of him doing those squats and lifts and stuff. Troy Aikman's like, why does he do it? And then suddenly Jalen Hurts like runs over a guy and drags another guy. It's like, that's why, bro. That's why he does those things. I'll admit, I don't believe in Philly just yet. They're 7-0, but the schedule doesn't show me anything. You only can beat the teams that are in front of you, so I'm not going to punish them for that. I'm just saying, you got to keep proving it. You got to keep going. They're obviously a playoff team, and we'll see what happens when we get there. But they're running away with this NFC. I think Minnesota is kind of interesting, though. Meanwhile, for Houston, I mean, Brandon Cooks not wanting to play. It's just the Houston is in. I mean, like, is that the worst organization to be right now in the NFL? There's no real direction. They lost their franchise quarterback and.
It feels like Houston is just getting started with their rebuild process. Obviously, the new coach, Lovie Smith.
I do like Lovie Smith, though, and the beard especially.
Oh, yes.
The beard legendary makes beard. It. I always liked Lovie Smith, but I like him even more with the beard.
I think they like Davis Mills. We'll see if he ends up being the future there. Probably not. They'll probably draft somebody. But they're in the process of rebuilding their team. You lose Deshaun Watson, probably for the best. But now Brandon Cooks
pouting.
Wants out.
He wants out.
It's in that weird phase where you're trying to find the guys that want to be there and want to build something with Houston.
Yeah, I can't blame them if they don't right now, because it's a nowhere situation for the Texans. Jalen Hurts, meanwhile, he threw a career-high 4 touchdown passes last week to lead Philly to a 35-13 win over Pittsburgh. He's averaging over 300 yards of offense. His team is at this point. He leads the NFC in all quarterbacks at this stage. I mean, he's that good. He's taking a monster jump to. Should we be giving Jalen Hurts more into the conversation of the good ones, the great ones right now? Is he a tier one? Has he moved up to tier one at this point?
I think so with this season, yes.
It's hard to deny. The numbers are there. The wins are there. They're 5-0 against the Texans. Philadelphia and Minnesota are the only teams Houston has never beaten. Are they talking about it? No, Jalen Hurts doesn't want to talk about it. He won't talk about it. He's like, I don't even want to hear 7-0, 6-0, 5-0. I don't want to hear it. But I'm telling you, you look at their schedule and you start to think maybe there's a possibility, if there's a team going to do it, it might be the Philadelphia Eagles. Did I go too long here? Because the music. Okay. Philly is -13.5. I hate that spread. Anytime you get much over 10, it scares me, no matter how good you are and how bad your opponent is. However, I'm starting to kind of get on this Jalen Hurts bandwagon here. And I think maybe, I don't know, they don't have my full confidence yet, the Eagles don't, and they may not until I see them in the playoffs. But I think they run the table tonight against the Texans. I like the Eagles to win big and cover -13.5.
Hold on to your butts.
Such a good song. It's been stuck in my head.
Fighting for the end zone. What a run. Touchdown, Philadelphia. Second of the night for Hurts.
Anyway, I started blasting. Bam.
Oh, boy. Deep ball it is. And it is.
Let's go. Come on. Undefeated November coming up for me and Philly. How about that? We can spell Eagles. Let's go. Song gets me going. Just want to go run around outside, but it's cold. Let's go Rocky. It's also Jamal Murray's song, too. Just because it is. Perfect for him tonight, too. Philadelphia, man. So, okay. They're going to go undefeated in November. I'm going to go undefeated in November. Thursday night special. Desperately needs it. I was so bad in October that I kind of quit keeping track. I just know that did I win one? I won one, didn't I? I'm sure I won one. It's been a rough October, dude. Last week we lost because I picked the Buccaneers. I picked the Cardinals. I picked the Cardinals, right? Or did I pick the Saints?
So we had Tampa Bay last week. They lost against the Ravens.
Uh-huh.
Then we had the Cardinals.
Who did I pick? I think I picked the Cardinals.
Yes, you did pick the Cardinals.
Who did I pick? Okay, so I got that. Obviously, I didn't get the Broncos right.
You had the Bears.
When was that?
That was, I want to say that was against the Patriots, I think.
And then your Dolphins let me down.
Yeah, that was.
That was September,
I guess.
That was
a Tua game.
That was a Tua game. Broncos let me down. So I'm just looking at October. Yeah, that was September. So yeah, Broncos to start, that let me down. Or the Dolphins to start. That was September 29th. Broncos let me down first. And then week six. I did take the Bears, didn't I?
You did.
So I lost that one. So 0-2.
Who'd they play that game?
That was the Commanders. 12-7. Just absolute beauty of a football game. Two in a row, remember? Terrible games. So 0-2 in October. I got the Cardinals. So 1-2. And then I lost last week. So I went 1-3. We need an undefeated November. Hey, we're getting down to it. It's crunch time. It's time to get going here. Got to get in the playoffs somehow, some way. Got to find a way to do it. 49 minutes after the hour. What's on the tube tonight? And closing thoughts coming up next.
Hear the latest on your local football teams during your drive to work with Good Morning NoCo on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to the whole show. Busy Thursday night coming up. What are you choosing to watch? Eagles Texans on Amazon Prime Video. World Series Game 5 between Houston and Philadelphia, 6:03 on Fox. Or Nuggets OKC, 6 o'clock probably on Altitude.
Those are all like right there, aren't they?
If you don't have it, then I don't, whatever. It's too late. It's too late for you. You should figure something else out.
Do we have Thursday night on tonight on KFK?
Yes, we do. Okay, so you could listen to it
on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
You can get the baseball game on your phone.
And then
get the Nuggets on DirecTV if you have it.
You could, or an iPad or something. You could do all those things. You could listen to all three. Thanks to KFK.
Stimulate your senses.
Exactly right. If you had to pick, though.
Nuggets.
Regular season basketball over the World Series?
Yep.
It's probably where I am, too.
If the Rockies were in it, I'd be tuned in to only that.
But it's Houston and Philadelphia. I mean, it's the World Series, but I haven't, you know, whatever. Like I said, I don't have a dog in the fight. Let's just go 7. Let's just do that. That's fine. No, absolutely. I'm with you. We're going Nuggets. Closing thoughts. The Broncos aren't waving the white flag. I don't know that that means that they're a playoff team, but they're not giving up. The Bradley Chubb thing was tough. I get it, but you feel good enough about the depth. And you do have a quarterback that you believe in. You kind of have to believe in him. You have no choice. You have to. Because you're in the beginning stages of this. It's going to do it for us. We have Thursday Night Football on KFKA tonight. Philly, Houston. Before that, Rams Weekly at 5 o'clock. All things Colorado State talk. You don't want to miss it. That's going to do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.